Father, we thank you as we gather here this evening. We thank you for the joy and the peace that you bring to us, the strength that we have for coming together, Lord. Thank you. We're here to receive from you tonight, Lord, and receive is exactly what we'll do. We thank you for the word that you've given Harry to bring to us that's going to bless us, educate us, and benefit us. So we just thank you. We receive it with open hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, Patrick. Patrick's always got a praise report.
You know, God's been really good. Michael doesn't even realize just how much a blessing he is, but prophesy now, he'll know more about how big a blessing he is. And the other thing is he's on the verge of getting a job.
Amen.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amanda had an interview this morning, too. So maybe we got some jobs coming into this place, huh? Well, then we just lift these jobs up in prayer in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for favor. When believers walk through the door, they have favor because you've gone before them, Lord, and you've prepared the way. You've prepared the hearts and the minds of the people that they're going to be interviewing with the paperwork that they have to fill out, whatever they have to do. You've already prepared the way, and you've granted them favor, Lord. You've been there before them. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to do the opening monologue before I turn Harry loose on you. Because there's a little bit from Sunday's message that actually I left out because I could hear tummies growling back there. You know, when you've been preaching so long, you're hearing hungry tummies. Well, time to move on. But just a little bit I just wanted to add in there from that. You know, my question was, why do people go through a midlife crisis? Parents experience empty nest syndrome when the kids move out. Men struggle emotionally after they retire. The same cause behind all of this is they're looking for identity. You know, we hear all the time about midlife crisis, men especially. Guy wakes up one morning and says, what am I doing? What is my life counting for? And he starts trying to find a new identity. Unfortunately, too many times they step in the wrong direction. Because then they start making those decisions based on emotion, based on wrong information and wrong motives. And they step the wrong way. You know, the world does some pretty incredible things to its children. It shows its daughters pictures of models, you know, with perfect figures. And they got perfect makeup, perfect complexions, perfect hairstyles. And advertising tells them, this is what you should look like. This is your identity. This is how you should be. Instead of showing its sons, distinguished scholars, scientists, preachers who've led thousands or even millions to Christ, instead of showing its sons great generals, great scholars, great statesmen, the world shows them professional athletes. And says, this is your role model. This is what you should be like. This is your identity. Never mind his drug problems. You know, forget his gun problems, his gang problems, his woman problems, his drinking problems, and his head-to-toe tattoos. That guy can shoot 35 points per game. He's your role model. That's your identity. That's what the world shows them. The world tells wives and mothers, you should be able to function as a full-time lawyer, a full-time mother, keep a perfect house, and make your husband happy, all without breaking a sweat. That's the model of the world. The world tells husbands and fathers that you should be able to work two jobs in order to provide your family with everything we tell you you should have. And you should be able to have time to spare for your wife and kids, hang out with your buddies, devote a whole weekend to televised sports. And remember, never forget, every kiss begins with a K, and if you didn't get it from Jared, you're a low-life scum. That's what the world tells them. The world tells everyone that you must have a college degree, you must have so much in the bank, you got to have the right credit cards, and enough life insurance. That's the model of the world. That's the identity it wants to give you. By the time you are of a certain age, statistically speaking, the world says you should be married, you should at least have a master's degree, you should be well into your second house, have 2.7 kids, 1.8 dogs, 2.3 cars, one of them costing at least $50,000. You should have college funds, IRAs, you should be knocking on the door of a full partnership with the firm, and plenty left over to spend on exotic vacations. That's the identity that the world wants to give you. Now, the world sets a standard that you can never hope to achieve. It wants you to strive for this identity you can never hope to reach. They want to make sure you spend every penny you got trying to reach this identity that the marketers are trying to give you. And they've got this cheering section back there, you know, go, 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 just borrow from us. Keep on borrowing, you'll get there. But God takes a different approach. See, he tells us right up front, we can never do it on our own. We can never be holy enough. We can never be righteous. We can never do enough good deeds on our own. We need Jesus. We need the love of God. We need salvation. We need Jesus Christ in our lives. He tells us right up front, we need his love. We need his caring. We need his guidance. We need his provision. We need him. That's the identity that we need, Jesus. He tells us that in him, by him, through him, we can do anything. Amen? That's an identity I can live with.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Harry?
Thank you. See, I was just getting comfortable.
Well, you should know better than that.
Okay. Before we get started, I want to say a few words. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit, faith, power of praise, and we've been giving it some good thoughts. And I've been reading this book again and into it, and it's given to me. It's showing me so much that I wish I could impart it all to you. Really, there are things in there that just want to bust out and just say, here's what I heard, here's what I read, here's what I did. And it's just some kind of a drive that gets inside of you. I got a call from a very good friend, a young man that lives in the city here, and I met him through my daughter. And he called me and he asked me, I wanted to know if... should I get fully immersed in baptism or just sprinkled? And he goes to the Lutheran church. And I says, what does your pastor tell you? He says, well, he tells me I'm okay. Everything's okay. It doesn't matter. I says, okay. I says, you answer me a question. I says, can you tell me how could Jesus come up out of the water under a sprinkling? Up out of the water, not from under it, from, you know, sprinkling on top, you know. So anyways, we had a good conversation, and I asked him, have you made Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Absolutely, he says. He's a neat guy. And I says, can you say that Jesus is Lord? He says, absolutely Jesus is Lord. He's my Lord. I says, there's no doubt that you're going to be in heaven. I says, your baptism doesn't really create that much of a problem. But, I says, if the question comes up in your mind, should I be fully immersed? Because he was dedicated when he was young. He was about 1 or 2 years old. He says, I was baptized then. I says, no. I says, that's not baptism. I says, baptism is when you accept Jesus, that you accept the full gospel, that you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I said, it's your decision, not your parents. So then he was troubled by it, and he says, well, who's going to be able to do it then? I says, well, I can volunteer my pastor. He says, would he do that? I says, absolutely. I says, you've made a confession of faith. It doesn't need take anymore. I says, anybody can baptize you if you want to be that way. But I says, it's best to be done so that you know in your heart, and your heart of hearts, so I says, in your spirit, you know that you've done the right thing. So he says, ask him, please. I says, okay. Bob and I talked about it. Sounds like it's going to be okay. Okay. Father, we thank you. I thank you for your patience with me today. I thank you that you've given me so much to talk about tonight. And I said, it doesn't even cover everything, though, Lord. It's just not enough time. But I'm going to do the best I can right now, and I know that your Spirit is right here helping me. And I thank you for that, and I praise you in Jesus' name. Okay. The evidence of praise. This is going to be very interesting. I think you're going to find that it's going to be a lesson that will give you more of an idea of how praise works in people's lives. Last week we read about the joy and the glory and the praise that brings to our Heavenly Father. When we praise Him and we thank Him, He receives joy and gladness in His heart. This week we're going to see what the Father wants to give us in return. We know that He does not change, and we can count on Him to do for us as He did for those in the past. Even in those days in the Old Testament, let's start by thinking about what happened in the book of Jonah. We know the account of Jonah and his running away from God because he didn't want to minister to the Ninevites. He didn't like them, and he wanted to stay away from them. He didn't think they were worth of God's word. He just didn't like them and wouldn't have any part with them. So he went to Tarshish, pardon me, and got into trouble with the crew of the ship that he was sailing. Because of the mighty storm that came up, that God sent upon the waters, and the sailors figured that someone was responsible. Well, they cast lots, and it fell on Jonah. This casting of lots, just as a little sidebar here. When I read that when I was a kid, when I heard about this, I said, lots, is that Abraham's cousin? Yeah, you know how kids think. I mean, come on. Anyways, I thought they were throwing lots at him. But let's get back to the subject. He got thrown off the ship, and a large fish swallowed him. Now, Jonah complained about the seaweed wrapped around his neck, the water and everything else, and the stench that was in the belly of this whale. It wasn't until he came to his senses that he started to talk to God and told him that he would do just what he was told to do. And he offered up the sacrifice of thanksgiving and praise to God. Amazing. Then God directed the fish to put Jonah on dry land. And probably the fish was happy over it because Jonah wasn't paying any rent, so he got evicted. Well, it's better than saying he got vomited out, but, you know, it's nicer to say he got evicted. Now, do you remember how Paul and Silas were thrown into prison after they were severely beaten and put in the stocks? They got those big blocks of wood locked over their ankles, and they couldn't get away. The Bible says that they started singing thanks and praise to God so loud that the rest of the prisoners heard them. And then the prison was shaken, and the chains and the stocks were loosened. That is how God answers praise and worship. Think about it. It was through praise and worship. It's not normal to give praise at a time like that. When things go wrong, but when you do, you will bring the Lord into the situation. Now, let's remember that Psalm 22, verse 3, it says, God inhabits the praise of His people. He inhabits the praise of His people. There's another translation, and I believe it's the Swedish translation. They put it this way. Thou art enthroned upon the praises of your people. You are enthroned. How about David? Think about David. All the things that he went through. He was singing praises to God while he was a shepherd. He was doing it on his own volition. Nobody told him to do it. He just did it because he thanked God. He loved God. And he gave thanks and praise to God every day. He practiced his guitar, or whatever you want to call it, the lyre. And he practiced what he was playing on. And he was singing praises. And he wrote verses. He wrote all these beautiful psalms that we see today, that we can read. Those praises, and those thanks, the thanksgiving and the praises that he gave, even when he was in trouble, he explained to God all the problems that he had, but then, but yet will I praise you, yet will I thank you, yet will I worship you, no matter how tough it got for him. He sang praises to God. And look what God did for him. I mean, he became king. He was hounded by an ex-king that was trying to kill him. And all the time he was doing it, he was still thanking and praising God. In the midst of his troubles, he thanked and praised God. When you think of it in this manner, you get the idea that he sits on the throne that you have offered him in praise in your midst. When I say that he's in the midst of every one of your problems, when we come together and we have worship, we pray, we sing songs of thanksgiving, we praise him, and then we give him our worship. You are setting God into your midst. He's sitting right in here. And he is wanting to be with you. Remember, you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. God is sitting here with you. He's listening to what's going on. He's examining how you receive the words that a preacher or a pastor gives you. He wants to know how you think about what you're thinking right now. Are you willing to praise him and thank him in all of your problems? It's a good thought. Today, I blew up a little bit. I dumped a full cup of coffee, a mug of coffee, and it went everywhere. mumble, grumble. And Marie, of course, never said a word. I tried to wipe it up, and she was trying to help me. And I was thinking, now I just lost everything that I did today. I got an awfully. I had a few praise the Lords, but then I got an awfully. And it's, you know, it's just, so it just seems like it's automatic. You don't even think about it. You're like, you get tight. You get that that complete check in your ear. Just, oh, you want to just, the whole body just tightens up. I mean, it does with me. Some people are so calm and cool and collected like Marie. She doesn't bother. She just goes ahead and does everything that she needs to do. Right there? So when we offer the praise in the midst of our problems and in the midst of our church, and I know that when we come together, not everybody is, oh, everything is so wonderful, everything's so great. There's those little problems in the back of your mind. There's a problem with finances. There's a problem with a job. There's a problem with a neighbor. There's a problem with the kids. There's a problem with the wife or the husband. Haven't got this thing resolved. We didn't get this done. We didn't get that done. And all these little things are on the back of our minds. I got trouble with my car. I got trouble with this. The boss is always on my back. In the midst of that, in the midst of it, Jesus is right there waiting for you to help you. All you have to do is get your mind off the problem and start praising and thanking him. Hard to do? Yeah. Sometimes it seems like it's the last thing you want to do. We're going to come across some stories in here. It'll give you an idea of what some people have gone through. And I could talk all night on those. We could actually praise and thank God with a little more enthusiasm. I asked this young fellow today that I was talking to, I said, when you praise the Lord, I said, do you shout out your praise? I said, thanksgiving, I said, you can do that in your breath. You can tell other people that I thank God that this is done and this is, he did this for me and he did that. But praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, you should see what he did. You know, it just doesn't come out that way in our daily lives, to talking to people. Now, this young fellow, bless his heart. I says, can you say that Jesus is Lord? Oh, yeah. There's no problem with that. I says, when you praise the Lord, I says, do you lift your hands? Do you lift up holy hands? Oh, no, we don't do that in our church. I says, yep, I know. I says, that's why Bree and I didn't go to Lutheran church where we started. We tried it one time, and it wasn't for me. Because, why? The people wouldn't even say good morning. And when we left, they didn't even say goodbye. It was very stuffy. And it's sad to say that it was rather sad. But it taught me something. And I pray for those that hear this tonight that they will be willing to act according to the direction and the correction that they hear. It isn't that big a deal. It isn't that hard. Like I told you last week, when I first started praising the Lord, I lifted my hands up to my belt line, hoping nobody else would see me. And then after a while, I got up to my elbows, and then I got a little up to my shoulders. And finally, I started raising my hands a little above my head, and then finally it went all the way up. It took a few weeks to do it. I wasn't comfortable with it. Why? Because I didn't know how to praise the Lord. I didn't know how to praise the Lord. Father, I bless and praise your holy name. It's amazing what you've taught me in these last few years that I've been going to this church and a few other places that I've read. And it's amazing. I think at this time that I'd like to give you some illustrations of power that we have in giving thanks and praise to our God. I told you about this fellow named Merlin Carruthers. He wrote the book of Power and Praise. And he gave some very powerful testimonies as to how he became a chaplain in the United States Army. His life was pretty rough at first. And during his early years, he was not the best. But he overcame the difficulties and became a chaplain. One day, a fellow came into his office. I came in to see... Well, he didn't come in his office. He went to a meeting. That's right. He went to this guy named Jim. He went into a meeting. And Merlin was speaking about giving thanks and praise for all circumstances. Jim and his mother had been praying about his alcoholic father for 30 years and received no results. They prayed and prayed about his alcoholism. So the next day, he and his mother decided to put into practice what they had heard. They spent the rest of the day thanking and praising God for the situation that they were in. By evening, they knew that something good was going to happen. The next weekend, when they got together for Sunday dinner, Jim's father asked about this Jesus revolution that he had read about. This led to a long and late night discussion. Before, he wouldn't even talk about God, wouldn't talk about Jesus, wouldn't talk about anything religious, and out the door he'd go. So Jim explained the word to his dad, and he ended up bringing his father to the Lord. Jim and his mother were amazed at how fast this came about. 30 years they'd been praying, and just in 1 week, it's all over. His father started studying the Bible and is completely healed, just by a little bit of praise and worship. Thank you, Lord, for being in our midst. God is willing... God will bring about good results in all situations as we show faith in His Word. Praise Him for what He has brought into your life. Do it deliberately and with understanding. Be deliberate about what you're saying when you're praising God. Go through the whole situation if you want to. Rehearse it in your mind as you're talking to Him. Tell Him, hey, God, you know that this has happened, and this has happened, and this is going on. What do I do? I can't do anything, but you can. And I praise you for that. I thank you for that, Lord. Be deliberate about it. Then there's another story, a good example of what God will do for obedient believers. A couple had come in to pray about their daughter, who was committed to a mental institution. The doctors had told them that she was hopelessly insane. They had asked God to heal her and restore her to normalcy, but to no avail. After they were told to give thanks and praise by Merlin, they left with more. They were more distraught and very unhappy. They talked about it and argued that this is ridiculous and foolishness. Then the husband said, "What if this is true and we miss the opportunity to help our daughter?" So they prayed and gave thanks and praise and glory to God in the situation. The more they prayed that day, the more they realized that God was doing something that was really good. The next morning, they received a call from the doctor telling them that something had happened and your daughter is back to normal. Oh, what a coincidence. Right?
Yeah.
Amazing. She's back to normal. In a couple of weeks, she was released. About a year later, Pastor Carruthers met the girl's brother and was told that she is married and expecting her first child. Glory to God. This is saying it in just a few minutes. There's just a few seconds I can tell you the story and it doesn't mean much to you. But what about your situation? What about the situation that you're in? There are things that you want to praise God for, thank Him for, just to get rid of it. You know, the enemy can't stand being in that presence. If you're praising God, he doesn't want to be near you. He hates it. In fact, it scares him to death. I wish. But praise is not a bargaining position. Don't get the idea that you're going to say to him, "Well, I will praise you so that you can bless me." And that's an attitude that people of no conscience would speak. Here's another example. A mother came to see the chaplain about her daughter that was a go-go dancer in a strip club. And he heard the story, and he told her, "Why don't you start thanking and praising God for the girl's situation?" Yeah. The mother became very indignant, and she said that she should thank the devil for the girl's misery, not a loving God. Attitude. That's the way some people think. After showing her that the Bible said and how it gave directions for our lives, she finally gave in and consented to pray. "I don't understand why we have to do this way, but I'm going to trust God and leave it with Him." After prayer, she felt better, stopped worrying about the situation, and then later on, she told the pastor what had transpired. That night, her daughter was dancing nearly nude when a young man entered into the bar and walked up to the girl and said, "Jesus really loves you." She got off the platform and sat with him and said, "Why did you say that?" He explained that he was walking past at the bar and the Lord told him to go in there and speak to the dancer and tell her that Jesus was offering her the gift of eternal life. Well, this really stunned that girl. And her tears welled up in her eyes, and she said, "I'd like to receive that gift." And she did, right there. In just a little while. Yet her mother was struggling with this problem for how long? We use phrases like, "Thank you, Lord," and "Praise you, Lord." "Oh, praise the Lord, we got this." "Oh, praise the Lord, we got that." And we use it in our daily lives. At least I hope we do. But do we say with the true sincerity and not just in a flippant manner? The prayer of praise releases more of God's power than any other petition. Just think about that now. Put that in your heart. The prayer of praise releases more of God's power than any other petition. No matter how hard you pray, no matter what else you say, prayer, thanksgiving, and praise gives you so much more. There is something that brings God into your life and to lift your spirit. Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Let's go back to David. I've often wondered, whatever happened, you know, how did David really end up? We know that he had a tremendous life, that he was going all over the place and fighting wars and battles. Did a few things that the Lord was very displeased about. But yet, he was the apple of God's heart, the apple in God's eyes, after all that he had done. And I thought, Lord, that gives us all a chance, doesn't it? That he could go, that David could go through all those things and God would just stand right by him and say, yeah, David, you're going to be mine up here. In the 29th, 1 Chronicles 29th chapter, verse 26, it says, David, son of Jesse, was king over all Israel. He ruled over Israel 40 years, 7 in Hebron and 33 in Jerusalem. He died at a good old age, having enjoyed long life, wealth, and honor. And his son Solomon succeeded him as king. Think about it. He had a good, long life. Happy, healthy, wealthy, successful. The apple of God's eyes. Why? Read the Psalms and you'll find out why. It's thanksgiving and praise. Praise and thanksgiving to God with a full and solid, sincere heart. It isn't that difficult. I know. Once I broke through that idea of being a little stiff, being brought up in a church that doesn't raise hands and shout. But boy, I'll tell you, it is so important to do. The more I read about this, the more I think about it. It's just amazing. There was a guy that came into Merlin Carruthers' office one day, an officer. And this story sort of got to me because I could relate to some of it. Not the same situation, but something like it. When I got into trouble when I was in the Air Force, unsaved, rowdy, the whole thing, a little bit careless, carefree, and how God straightened that out. Just because I spoke the truth, and I didn't try to cover it up. I didn't know about praising God, believe me. But this man, John, this officer came into the chaplain's office and he says, I just received word that my wife has just been taken into an institution where she is completely insane. And the doctor said that there's no hope. She is totally gone the other way. Her mind is finally gone. And he wept in the office there, and he cried. And Merlin, of course, being a very devout man, he says, have you thought about praising and thanking God? And the guy said, no, wait a minute. I have been a Christian for all my life. But he says, this is not a time to praise and thanksgiving for my wife's situation. And then Merlin says, how about praising the Lord and thanking Him in all things and for all things. Well, the guy, finally, he said that, Merlin said his eyes were dark. His countenance was complete devastation. And he says, okay. He says, there's nothing else I can do. I want to give God a chance in my life and in her life. So they prayed. They both got on their knees and they prayed in that office. And as they prayed, the man started to weep, just crying, sobbing. Couldn't hardly speak because he was sobbing so hard. And then he became quiet. And then he started to laugh. He started laughing. And Merlin just kept on praising God and praising God for the situation, for the whole thing. And the man just burst out laughing. He says, you know what? He says, you know what the Lord just told me? He says, I'm supposed to go get to see my wife. Go to that institution and get her and talk to her. And he says, the minute I touch her, she's going to be well. And Merlin says, you better get going. Well, the man finally got some leave from the service. He was in Fort Benning. And he got out, and he got down to the institution, and now the devil starts talking. You know you're crazy. You know that's not going to happen. What's the matter with you? You're going to make a fool of yourself. You know, that's ridiculous. You don't do things like this. But then he said, no. He says, God told me. And he walked up the stairs, got in their place, and he said, I want to see my wife. They got her into an office where she was sitting. And he looked at her, and she looked at him, and he just walked over, and he says, I just barely touched her, and she just snapped. And he says, man, she was healed right there. And he says, in the name of Jesus, you are healed. And the doctor looked at him and says, what's going on here? What is this guy about? And then the guy told him the story, and he says, this is what the Lord told me to do, and I've done it. And he says, my wife is healed. And she sat down, they talked, you know, and they got the thing done, and she says, she was dismissed. She's a very happy woman at this time. Why? Why? It's because somebody finally listened to God's word and said, yes, I will praise him. I will give him glory. I will thank him for what's going on. And it can happen to any one of us. I don't care if the family is falling apart, if there's alcoholism, drugs, dissension, rebellious nature of kids. I mean, Marie and I saw that. We've gone through some of it. But we just said, God, it's in your hands. It's all yours. We can't do anything. And it's amazing how quickly things turn around. Right, Marie? Yeah, it's just a blessing. And we thank God for it. And if anybody here wants to get on their knees and praise God and thank God for every situation in their lives, we've got to do this. We've got to do it. Be sure that your prayers are about him and his holiness, full of adoration and awe. You cannot cajole God with all these pretty words, because he sees and knows your thoughts before you speak. I've often wondered how he did that. And he gets the word from the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is right in them, and they're all one. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they're all one. They communicate continuously each day, all the time, every second. That's how he knows what your thoughts are. That's how he knows where you are at and what your problem is. And he knows your thoughts before you even speak them. Remember I said that a little while back, I said that your spirit knows more than your head does. So here you are. How do you think you're going to fool God? And how do you think you're going to hide from him in the dark? I don't care how pitch black it is. He knows your thoughts. He sees you. He feels everything about you. Being baptized in the Holy Spirit is a sort of a rough thing to talk about in church, especially in denominational churches. They're afraid of it. Some are getting more loosened up to it. But you know, immersion in the Holy Spirit. I'm not just talking about your whole body being taken in the water and then brought up in baptism. Full immersion. I try to think of something that would be a good likely an allegory about that. And today, as I was wiping up the floor in the kitchen from all the coffee that I spilled, that sponge soaked up every bit of water, every bit of coffee. Okay? That's full immersion. When the Holy Spirit gets in you and every cell of your body, in every hair, in every follicle, in every cell, every skin pore, he's there. Fully. Your whole body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Not just your spirit. It's your whole body. He's living in you. And if you don't think that he knows what you're looking at, if you don't think that he knows what you're thinking, if you think that he doesn't have a clue of what's going on, because you're keeping it quiet, let me tell you, you don't have a chance. When the Holy Spirit is in you, you don't have a chance. He's there every moment. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You can't give God any more, you can't give God enough glory. You can't give enough thanks and praise when you really think about it. Oh, how he wants to help you. Each one of us. Next week, I have a lesson. It's already done. I got into this about faith. And I'm telling you, it just, I mean, I couldn't type fast enough. It was just pouring out. Just pouring out. And I believe that next week when we talk about it, it's going to be the Spirit, faith, praise equals power. You have no idea how much power that you can draw. You have the power in you that can put stars in the heavens if you had the faith. Think about it. We are no different than God. He says, Jesus said that you will do the same and even greater things you will do than what I've done. I'll tell you, it's doing this study on the Holy Spirit and the evidence of the Spirit doing so many things. Oh, yeah. There's a story about a general. Ah, yes. Got to tell you this one. We still got time. I'm not out of time yet. There's a general in this army base. And he was getting up. He was getting very uneasy. He was getting very nervous about everything. And he came to see the chaplain. And the chaplain said to him, "What could be," he thought to himself, he said, "What could be wrong with this fellow? What could be his problem?" And this general said that he is under so many eyes of the whole camp, the whole base. They are all watching him. And he says, "If I make one false statement, move, anything wrong," he said, "they'd come down on me like a cloudburst." And the chaplain says, "Why would you think that?" He says, "I've always believed that if I am perfect in every way, in my dress, in my hair, my clean up in the morning, do everything that I have to do, put on the uniform, make everything spick and span, everything perfect. And if I run my life and the base just exactly the way it's got to be done," he says, then everything will be okay. But he says, "I can't keep it up. I cannot keep up this facade that I'm going through. He says, it's just making me a nervous wreck." And then Pastor Credit says, "Well, wait a minute." He says, why don't we just give God the glory for this? Let's praise him for the situation that you're in. And the guy, whoa, wait a minute. He says, praise him and thank him? He says, that's not in my religion. It's not in my religion. Yeah. He says, well, that's... He says, so he says, okay. He says, you go by the rule books? He says, let's go by this rule book. The Word of God. Let's see what it says. So they read some of it. They put it together. And then this general got on his knees and he says, you're right. He says, I give it all to you, Lord. And away he went. He got up from that floor and he says, you know what? It's not as bad as I thought it was. Yeah. A general that surrendered to God. And I thought, praise the Lord. It doesn't matter how big a man you think you are. Just because you've got a title. God is still bigger than anything that you've got. Or anything that you are. We can talk about so many things more. So many more things about this praising God and thanking him. And some of the situations. So whenever we get together, and if anybody here has a problem or has a situation that they want to pray over, let's not just be using fancy words. Let's get on our knees, pray with that person, and praise the Lord for the simple things that he's going to do, just as natural as anything. He takes the most difficult situations, and he makes them so simple. It's taken care of. How do you, in your whole life, how could you pray your daughter out of an insane asylum? You can pray and thank, and you can pray and pray and pray, but if you don't give him praise and thanks for the situation, believing that he is there in everything and for anything that's going on in your life, if you don't do it, where are you? Where are you going to get? You're not going to get anywhere. You've got to believe that when God says, I'm there, I'm waiting for you to knock on the door. Just open the door and let me in. Open the door, please. Let me help you. Boy, we think we can take care of all the situations. Nah, not a bit. Not a chance. You're not big enough. Not until you ask God in your life. And not until you give God the praise and the glory and thanksgiving for the situation that you're in. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the servants who continue to teach others and give light to your word. I have received this lesson with thanksgiving, Father, and I praise you for giving us insight into these many problems that we face in our daily lives. I pray for those that hear this will be willing and act according to your direction, to your correction, to bless and praise your holy name, to give you their lives just by the act of, by the simple saying of, Jesus, come into my heart. It is such a simple thing to do. You do it in faith, believing that he will answer and he will take care of you. Those situations and problems that you're in, they're not that big. Not for him. They're not too big for him to do anything about. He is desiring to help you. So give Jesus the chance to in your life to show you what's going on. What the world is really about. What life is really about. Give him praise. Give him thanks. In the situation you're in right now, with all sincerity of heart, and he will answer your prayers and make your heart glad. Father, we thank you, and we praise you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Harry. We need to all come together. Stand up here and let's just all come together as family.
Well, while we're doing that, to tell you about my first time ever in a full gospel church, spirit-filled church, whatever you want to call it. And these people were, they were raising hands to the Lord, and they were speaking in tongues, and I said, where do you suppose the back door is? See, I wanted to go out the back door, because this isn't a place where a good, staunch Baptist deacon would want to be seen. You know? And the answer was, well, I don't know. And I said, well, where do you suppose they want a back door? Because I'll make them one. I'm getting out of here. Well, the Holy Spirit has done a work in me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yeah, well, after 3 days by myself working on a tennis court, well, he had plenty of time to knock some sense into my head. Yeah. It'll work. I'm waiting on you. Yeah, you're part of this. Hallelujah. Now, as we pray, if you got a situation in your life, something on your heart, something that's troubled you, well, let's just lift it up and give it praise. Yeah. Give it thanksgiving. Lord, we just come before you now as one heart, one spirit, Lord, one family. And we just thank you, Lord, for every situation in our lives, Lord. And show us, Lord, teach us how to praise you when it's hard. Show us how to praise you when it's tough and we don't think we're going to make it through. Show us how to praise you, Lord, when there's not enough money, when work is scarce, when there's not enough gas in the tank, when there's sickness, whatever it may be, Lord, show us how to stand and praise you and give you thanksgiving as David did.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. We just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just myself, I give you praise and thanksgiving, Lord. I just lift up to you with my heart. And I thank you, Lord, for the mighty, wonderful things you're doing in my life. You know the areas of need, Lord. You know the areas where I'm coming up short. And I thank you for those, Lord. I just give you praise for them. Oh, I just thank you so much, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Praise your holy name.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Praise you, Father.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
I know it's being healed. I know it's being done.
Amen.
And
amen.
I give you
amen.
Praise, Father.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So much.
Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. We think nothing, Lord, of thanking someone who's done a kindness for us. We think nothing of saying thank you to the person at the store who helps our with our purchase. We think nothing of that, Lord. What makes us think we could not come before you, our Creator, the God of heaven and earth, and not give you our whole and total and complete praise and thanksgiving, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, for coming up short in praise and worship. Let us honor you, Lord, with every word of our mouth, Lord, in every situation. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen, amen. He reminds me that in every situation there's a light side and a dark side. Yeah. We need to look at that light side, the positive side, the right side, and just lift it up to him and thank him and praise him for it. And the dark side, yeah, that'll take care of itself.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
That's good. Praise you, Father. We give you praise, Lord. Lord, we just lift you up. And we want to praise you and give you a little glory for everything
Amen.
That happens
Amen.
In our lives.
Amen.
For all the
Amen.
Situations that we're in. And we know that you are working in the midst of that and you're bringing us out of that. Thank you, Father, and we give you praise. Thanksgiving. We can't do it enough. Praise you. Praise you, Father.
Praise you.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you,
Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name we give you praise, Father. Hallelujah.
Amen. 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 Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. As we go home this evening, Lord, now, we just bow before you, Lord, and we give you praise. We give you the thanksgiving in every situation. We thank you when that light turns red just before we get to the intersection. We thank you when we go out and it's cold, whatever it is, the little. It's just as important to remember those little things as it is the big ones.
That's a time to praise the Lord when the light turns red.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.